Amen. Take your Bibles this evening. We're going to continue on in the book of Esther. Take your Bible, look at Esther chapter 3 and verse 15. If you hold your hand there for a second and flip over also to Galatians, the book of Galatians and chapter number 6. So Esther chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 6, I'll be reading out of Galatians chapter 6 first. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." But verse number 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I just wanted to read that tonight there, verse number 9. It doesn't really have anything to do with what I'm looking at back over in Esther. But I wanted to read that tonight to encourage you. And listen, if you're in a fight for the Lord Jesus Christ, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get weary. I know sometimes you do feel weary. You feel worn out. You feel like sometimes maybe throwing the towel in. But like we just sang that last song there, Face to Face, someday, very soon, we'll see our Savior face to face. And so I just want to encourage you tonight to stay faithful, though you might feel weary in well-doing. Don't faint, because in a due season, we'll reap. As long as we don't faint, just keep staying faithful to the Lord. Stay faithful to His Word. Stay faithful to the Savior. And continue to fight the good fight of faith. Don't stop. Keep going forward. So look back over here in Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians. Esther. Chapter 3, verse 15. Esther, chapter 3, look, verse 15. Last week, we were looking at the last part of verse number 15. The Bible says, "The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan, the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city, Shushan, was perplexed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord, for this evening. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace, the opportunity to gather together freely, Lord, this evening. Thank you for this church building. Thank you for the brethren. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation. And Lord, thank you for that blessed hope, dear God, that someday we'll be able to see you face to face. Lord, help us now, dear God, with the time that we have left down here, Lord, that we would live these lives, Lord, that would bring you glory and honor and praise. So Lord, we ask for your wisdom and guidance and direction this evening. Lord, please open our ears and our hearts and our eyes to receive what you have for us out of this blessed book. And Lord, we praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked at last week where it says, "But the city, Shushan, was perplexed." Why is it perplexed? Because a decree has just gone out. It's been sent to every province across the whole land. And this decree is to say that on the 12th month, on the 13th day of the month, those that weren't Jews were to attack the Jews and kill them and then take whatever spoil they could get from the Jewish people. All of a sudden, like I said last week, all of a sudden things are going well within the kingdom. Everybody seems to be happy. Times are prosperous. And now all of a sudden this decree comes from the king. And the Bible says that the city Shushan was perplexed. And I looked last week of why they might be perplexed, that why all of a sudden now is the whole kingdom given an order to kill the Jews in the 12th month on the 13th day of the month. And we looked at it last week and we see from scripture that the devil hates God's people. The devil hates the Jewish people and the devil hates Bible-believing Christians, Christians that believe the Word of God, stand upon the Word of God, and try to live by the Word of God. The devil hates that. And he's going to try to do everything he can to take out not only the Jewish people, but to try to discourage and take out God's people. Now, one thing we got to realize is that Satan has no power to take us out of the race. He cannot take us out of the race. But what he can do is try to pour it on you to where you take yourself out of the race. To where you get to the point to where I say, I quit. It's just not worth it. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I'm wore out. Dear God, Lord, I'm tired of putting on the armor. I'm tired of dealing with the arrows. I'm tired of dealing with the fainting. Lord, I'm tired of dealing with the fight. Lord, I'm wore out. And the devil's hoping that you'll just throw in the towel, go off to the sideline and say, no more. I'll just ride this thing out from the sideline. That's what the devil's hoping for. He cannot take you out. but he's hoping there's a 50-50 chance that you'll take yourself out of the race. Now, take your Bible, look over at Acts chapter, well, no, look at Ephesians chapter 2. We looked at last week when we looked at how this occurs from the very beginning of time, but look here at Ephesians real quick here this evening. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Now, last week, I looked at Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, which said at the latter part of verse 15 that God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. That's talking about the Lord God said, I'm going to put enmity to be a state of an enemy between the two of you, between Satan and the woman. And between thy seed, he's referring to Satan, thy seed and her seed. And it says, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So from Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, all the way up to this present day, the enemy of God's people is Satan. But the Bible says that the woman's seed is going to have victory over Satan and his seed. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 1 here this evening. Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul tells the church here at Ephesus, you know, if you're reading the book of Acts, they're dealing with a lot of idolatry in this city. But Paul says to the believers that are saved, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Until you're saved by the Spirit of God, born again by the Spirit of God, a spiritual circumcision taking place within your heart, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You're dead. You're a dead man walking. You're dead in your sins. And the Bible says in verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And look what it says next. The spirit that now worketh in what? In the children of disobedience. What spirit is there out there right now working in the children of disobedience? It's the prince of the power of the air. The people that are still dead in their trespasses and sins. Now, we looked at it last week. Listen, I do not believe that Satan has relations with a woman and he produces his own seed that is out here in society today. I believe what the Bible has shown us and what it states by it saying Satan's seed is those that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, reject the light, reject the truth, and go on in their own ways and walk according to the course of this world, that they are the children of disobedience. And the spirit that is behind them is the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. Brethren, you got to be careful when you go out here today or tonight or this week and realize that sometimes you might be dealing with a spirit that's behind that individual. The reason you might be getting an attitude, the reason you might be getting yelled at, the reason you might be getting chewed out is because it's not maybe necessarily that person themselves, but a spirit that's working through them. Because you know what? If that spirit that's working through them and you're saved, it knows the Spirit of God. So there's stuff going on in the heavenlies that we cannot see. But the devil knows, and his devils know, who truly are born again of God and that they have the Spirit of God within them, and thus that war that might take place. And what we got to be careful is we don't fall into the trap thinking it's us against them. Well, they just threw me an attitude, so I'm going to throw them an attitude too. No, God does not desire that. God desires for us to take the higher plane and by good works put to silence those that are against God. That's hard to do in our flesh. That's why it's so important to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. But here you find in Ephesians chapter 2 that you got a children of disobedience. Look what he says in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And look what the Bible says. And were by nature, what were we by nature? The children of wrath, even as others. All of us were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to this course of this world. We were influenced and directed by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And our conversation was fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind. Brethren, I'll say this as I move on here this evening. God forbid that Christians that are saved walk according to the course of this world. Brethren, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, has called us out from this world, and God forbid that we still walk according to the course of this world and act just like this world. Individuals out there need to see a difference today. They need to see a difference of what Jesus Christ can do. Take your Bible, flip over to Colossians chapter number 3. Children of disobedience, children of wrath. Look what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Kind of goes hand in hand with what Paul was talking about over there in Ephesians chapter 2. Colossians 3, 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Don't walk according to the course of this world. Verse 3, why? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now I got a question here before we move forward further. Are you dead? Are you dead tonight to yourself and alive unto Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ your life tonight? Or does he just have a little piece over here off to the side? Paul says, and he desires for the church there, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Why? Verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Most of those sins listed there in verse number 5 are sexual sins. Most of those sins listed there in verse number 5, when he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, the first thing he says is fornication. You know why? Because believers could still be subject to fornication. We don't realize that. We think in our mind that a saved individual will never do any of those things, but a saved individual could still do those things because a saved individual still has their flesh to deal with. And how many a good man in both pulpits and in the congregation has fallen prey to the lust of their flesh? And Paul tells the church here in Colossians, he says, mortify. That means to subdue or bring into subjection as bodily appetites by abstinence or rigorous severities, to subdue, to abase, to restrain. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And the first thing he says is fornication, uncleanness. That's a sexual sin. And I'm just going to leave it right there as that. But I'm saying if men are walking according to these things, there's no power with God. And you're walking according to the course of this world. Look what he says in verse 6. For which things saith the wrath of God cometh on, look at it again, the children of disobedience. You know what is so prevalent in our society today? I'd say the most prevalent thing in our society today is sexual sins. Sexual sins. Especially along the younger crowd, sexual sins is what the devil is going to get most caught up with. And Paul says, to mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. But he talks about how if the wrath of God is going to come on the children of disobedience, look at verse 7, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. The children of disobedience, Satan's seed. Brethren, make sure that we're not influenced by what the devil's throwing out there today. Lastly, let's flip over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Brethren, it doesn't take much to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It does not take much to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And I think because the church, and again, I'm not referring to Race Street Baptist Church, I'm saying the church as a whole. The church as a whole, I think, has forgotten what power it used to have with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. I think because we don't see the Holy Spirit move like He used to move at the very beginning, we don't realize how far we've moved away from what God can do. And the things that though grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Brethren, if there is any amount of sin in our life and we continue to live in that sin, whatever that sin might be, that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And it prohibits Him from moving and doing things that the Father might want done. So God desires for us to live clean before Him. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse number 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest. And look what the Bible says, and the children of the devil. Again, that's not talking about the devil having offspring physically. It's talking about the lost crowd out there that chooses to reject God and walk in disobedience and in rebellion as the devil walked. Brethren, what was the problem from the very beginning? Why did Adam and Eve, why did they lose everything? What sin did they commit? It wasn't murder. Adam and Eve didn't commit murder. Adam and Eve didn't commit thievery. Adam and Eve didn't commit fornication or adultery or sowing discord among. They didn't commit some grievous sin. What was the sin that they committed? Disobedience. Disobedience. They just simply disobeyed what God said to do. Brethren, what could be so harmless in eating one piece of fruit? What could be so harmless of just taking a piece of fruit off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and just taking one bite of it? What could be so sinful and wrong about that? It was disobedience. It wasn't some grievous sin that they committed in the face of God. They were just merely disobedient to what God said to do. It don't take much, brethren. It doesn't take much to walk after the ways of Satan. Satan was a rebel and he was disobedient to God. And thus he got Adam and Eve to be rebels and to sin against God. Verse number 10, chapter 3 of 1 John. In this the children of God are manifested and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. You know, brethren, do not be surprised when people say things about you because you're trying to live for God. Look what the Bible says here. Why did Cain get so mad? Why did Cain want to kill his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Abel was just simply trying to do what God commanded his family to do, and Cain hated it from him. Cain couldn't stand what Abel stood for. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain tilled the land, and when they both came to bring an offering unto God, Cain brought was acceptable to God, an animal sacrifice that shed its blood. Cain brings the best of what he's got, and God had respect unto Abel's offering, and he did not have respect unto Cain's offering. And because of this, Cain was mad. The Bible says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. So that wicked one and slew his brother. brethren, one thing I've seen and noticed is that sometimes brethren are harder on brethren than they are in some own wickedness going on in their own life. I'll jump on the preacher. I'll jump on my fellow brother or sister in the Lord, and yet I will not deal with sin that is in my own life. That's of Cain. That is of Cain. That is the spirit of Cain. You hate your brother because he's living a more righteous life than you're living. And by him living his righteous life, you don't like it because it makes you look bad. And the truth comes out when the light is spread out there and the righteousness is out there. And you know what? You want to kill the righteous, but you'll save the wicked. Brethren, it ought not to be, brethren. It ought not to be in a Christian's life to where you're going to get on your brother or sister in the Lord, but you will not deal with sin in your own life. That's a spirit of Cain. And he was of that wicked one. He was of that wicked one. Now, take your Bible, look over here at Colossians chapter 2 again, the woman's seed. So you got Satan's seed and you got the woman's seed. Satan hates the woman's seed. Satan hates, again, like I said, God's chosen people, the Jewish people. The city Shushan was perplexed. Why? Because all of a sudden there is a decree gone out to destroy the people of God, to bring destruction to the Jewish people, the woman's seed. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and look at verse number 10. Colossians chapter 2. And verse number 10, let me get over there myself. Look what the Bible says here, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Look, what I'm going to read these verses here, but I want you to realize before I read these things of what was said back in Genesis chapter 3, that the woman's seed would bruise the head of Satan's seed and also of Satan himself. So we read here in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10, and ye are complete in him, which is head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, where also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, glory to God on that, brethren, that the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, as we're going to read through this thing here, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, he bruised the head of Satan. Listen, we're going to read this here, but glory to God that the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us, he can quicken us and he forgave us of all our trespasses and sins. We have victory in Jesus Christ, and not just victory, brethren, we now are complete in him. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Brethren, if you're in Christ Jesus tonight, and you have been quickened by the Holy Spirit of God, and that circumcision has taken place within your heart, you are complete. There's no sin against you. You have got victory over sin, death, and hell, and the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You now have the opportunity given to you to live a victorious life through what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now look what the Bible says. Talking about bruising his head, look what verse 14 says. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That was the law of God saying, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, and there's no hope for you. But Jesus Christ, when he came, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And I love verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Brethren, I'd have loved to have been there. I'd have loved to have the eyes to see when the Lord Jesus Christ went down there to death and hell and he said, give me those keys, they're mine. You no longer have power. You no longer have strength. I've got victory over you. And he spoiled principalities and powers. And he didn't go down there like a little lamb. Look, Jesus Christ is effeminate in no way, shape, or form. He is fully God and fully man. And he went down there and he made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. That's the woman's seed bruising the head of Satan. Glory to God this evening, brethren. The victory we have in the Lord Jesus. And God forbid, God help us. Now I know that there's going to be battles and I know there's going to be afflictions and trials and tribulations and persecutions. But may God help us, like you said, brother, to get to the point now that we live in the victory that Jesus Christ has afforded us through the death, burial, and resurrection. Brethren, we as Christians ought not to go around, and I'm prone to it, brethren. We ought not to go around with our heads hanging down. We ought not to go around with our heads hanging down. We have victory through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, having spoiled principalities. Right before we came into services this evening, I decided I was reading through this before we come in and had church tonight. And I said, you know what? Let me look up this word spoiled. I thought I knew what the word spoiled meant. I had a kind of idea what the word spoiled meant. Sorry. I'll wait for you to turn it off. That word spoiled means this, brethren. It means plundered. It means pillaged. It means rendered useless. That's glorious, brethren. That's bruising the head of the serpent. Jesus Christ didn't just go over there and say, hey, Satan, can you please give me those keys? No, he stepped right down in there and he spoiled principalities and powers and he triumphed over that and he did it openly in front of everybody down there to see who is King of Kings and who is Lord of Lords. And he spoiled the devil. He plundered, he pillaged, and he rendered useless anymore what the power that Satan, death, and hell has over anybody that's in Christ Jesus. Brethren, we're more than victors in our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and look over at Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Listen, Shushan was perplexed. Why? Why would the king want to kill all the Jews? Because Satan hates God's people. But we ought not to be perplexed by the things that we might face in our life. We know that Satan hates us. But we have victory through Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Brethren, that's why it's so important to stay in your Bibles. Stay in your Bibles from Genesis to Revelation. Stay in the Scriptures, lest at any time you let some things slip that you've heard before. Verse number 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? These verses always make me wonder. Goes back over to Psalm chapter 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why would Jesus Christ, why would God want to save a wicked, sinful, man like myself. Why would God want to save us? Why would God not just save us, brethren? Think about this evening. Don't let this slip out of your mind. Don't let the devil steal it out of your mind and out of your heart, brethren. Listen, what Jesus Christ has done for us and who he was. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God manifested in the flesh. God in the flesh. To die for you and me. Sinners, rebels, wicked, undone, children of disobedience, children of wrath, yet Jesus Christ was willing to come to die for us. What a Savior we have. He didn't do this for the angels. He did it for mankind. And what is man that thou art mindful of? In verse number 7, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and it set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Brethren, if that does not make you sing out with all you have when we sing these hymns, I don't know what will. Brethren, to just have a hymn book beside you or in front of you, crowned him with many crowns? Absolutely. Glory to God, brethren. The Bible says that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That's Jesus Christ. Do you realize the context of those verses there in verse 12? That's Jesus Christ singing praises within the church. How can Jesus Christ sing praises within the church? Through you and I. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think about that for a moment. When you sing out to Jesus Christ, he's in you as you sing out to him, giving the praise and glory and honor to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brethren, how do you represent the Lord when you sing? Do you sing it like Jesus would sing it? Bible says in verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, look what the Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. That's the devil, and that's him putting his heel down on that devil's head. And Jesus Christ now has the keys of death and hell, and he's destroyed the power that the devil had over death. Verse 15, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not of him the nature of angels, but he took on him, look at what the Bible says, the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Why? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That literally means to support. That word succor, and it means there, it means he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means to support. And it just doesn't mean support. It means to run to support, to relieve when in difficulty, want, or distresses. That word right there is when you're in difficulties, when you're struggling as the enemy and the world and your flesh are coming against you and you're trying to live a life that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is there to succor you. He's just not there to help support you. The Bible says he's there and he's running hastily to get there to support you and help you and keep you from falling, which is exactly what the devil hopes occurs. That you don't avail yourself of what you have in Jesus Christ. The devil does not want you to avail yourself of what you have in Christ Jesus. You are more than conquerors. Brethren, you can get victory over your thought life. You can. You can get victory over your thought life if you're willing to bring your thought life in line with Jesus Christ and his word. Will it be easy? No, my friend, it will not be easy. Actually, it'll probably be the hardest battles that you'll face in your entire life, but it can be done. And don't let the devil get in there and say it cannot be done, because Jesus Christ has given us the victory. He's there to succor us. Them that are tempted, tried. He's there to run for our support and hold us up. Not only, brethren, not only did the Lord Jesus Christ bruise the head of the serpent by his death, burial, and resurrection on that cross, it is also mentioned in Scripture that very soon we also shall bruise Satan under our feet. Take your Bible, look at Romans chapter number 16 as we close up here this evening. Last couple verses here. Look at Romans chapter 16. Look at Romans chapter number 16 and look at verse number, Romans 16. Let's start in verse number 19. Romans 16, 19. Romans 16, 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. The Lord does not want us knowing everything that's evil out there. Actually, he wants us just to be simple concerning the things that are evil. But he wants us to be wise unto that which is good. Look at verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. How is Satan going to get bruised under our feet shortly? Take your Bible and look over at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse number 29. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 29. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of his son. Not predestinated to heaven or hell. Those that are in Christ Jesus, it's been predetermined. It was foreknown from the foundation of the world that those that would be in Christ Jesus, those that received Jesus Christ as a personal Lord or Savior, had the circumcision of their heart done, had become a new creature in Jesus Christ. It was predestinated to those that would get in Christ to not, listen, he's not going to leave us high and dry once we're in Christ. He's going to do that. Take your Bible, hold your hand right there real quick and look over at Philippians. I'm going to come right back to Romans as I close out here. Just stick with me these few last moments. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 compared with Romans chapter 8 verse 29. To be conformed to the image of his son. Look at Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, and then we're going to go right back over to Romans. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll perform it. He'll perform what he desires in your life. If you'll just keep fighting a good fight, stay walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, allow the Lord to work in your life. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. We have all that right now in Christ Jesus. We are now glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now seated in heavenly places, and we're there with Christ in Christ Jesus in the heavens right now, though we're right here right now, because we're in Christ. Verse number 31. I love these verses. Think about what we read over there at the latter part of Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Satan shall be bruised under our feet shortly. Look what Romans 8, 31 says. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have victory. And shortly enough, we are going to bruise Satan's head under our feet as well. I'm going to close with this. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read these verses as we close out here, but I want to say this again. The devil, our flesh, this world does not want us to comprehend what we have in Christ Jesus. The enemy of our soul does not want us to realize the promises that we have to stand upon and what we have in Christ Jesus. Brethren, now look, I believe over there where it talks about in the book of Jude and 2 Peter, listen, we're not to bring railing accusations against the devil or Satan. Brethren, it is a foolish statement to say, devil, come on, bring it on and we'll take you on. That's foolish. No. You don't say, devil, bring it on. Like we're getting ready to fight you, devil. Come on, step into the ring, devil. I'm ready to stamp on your head. You're a fool. You're crazy. No, my friend. No. That's to invoke something there and to bring a railing accusation against someone that Michael the archangel wouldn't even bring a railing accusation against the devil, and he's the archangel, right? That's why it's so dangerous, brethren, to not fall. But listen, brethren, this is not the subject this evening, and I'm getting ready to close out here. The thing that God set up from the very beginning is authority, and the devil hates authority. He hates the authority. And what he wants to do is to get us in some way to rebel against authority. Even if we disagree with the authority. The powers that be are ordained of God. Who set Nebuchadnezzar up? God did. Who let the king, Nebuchadnezzar, make a fire so hot that he was going to throw three of God's children into it? God allowed it. God, the Bible says, God sets up the basest of men. And brethren, as I close out here, I'm telling you this evening, we need to be very, very careful that we don't bring railing accusations against the devil or governments that God has established. The Bible says in 2 Peter, and talks about despising governments. Brethren, that goes along the line of rebellion and disobedience. And it takes a form of what the devil has done. Brethren, we have victory through Jesus Christ, but I'm not going to go out here tonight and try to pick a fight with the devil. I'm not going to do it. By God's grace, I hope I don't do it. I hope the devil stays as far away from me as possible. I don't want to do battle with the devil. But I do know this, of what I have in Jesus Christ. And that I have victory because he's given me victory by what he's accomplished on that cross, and he being buried and raised again from the dead. I don't have to be scared of the devil, but I'm not going to pick a fight with the devil. That would be foolish. Now take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we close out here. Look at verse 53. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. You know when Romans chapter 16, verse 20 is going to be accomplished. I believe it'll be here, right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We no longer have to be scared of death. Death has no more dominion over us. Death has no more strength over us. Sin has no more dominion over us. Sin has no more strength over us. Why? Because we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're more than conquerors. And though, brethren, listen, the devil or the enemy might try to slip thoughts in your head of, I don't know if I can handle if persecution would come. I don't know what I would do if I was faced of choosing God or keeping my life. I don't know what I would do in these situations. I'm scared if I'm coming up to my deathbed, what it's going to be like. I don't know. Stop. The Lord Jesus Christ will not give you grace till that grace is needed. If you're not dying, you don't need grace to die because you're not there yet. And it's the enemy trying to get in your mind and get you defeated and downcast to where you don't walk in the victory that you have in Jesus Christ. Don't wait for that grace yet because you're not there yet. Trust the Lord that whatever you might face, he'll be there right with you and he'll carry you through as long as you don't quit. Just stay faithful. He'll give the grace when the grace is needed and not until then. So if those thoughts come in your mind, I don't know what I would do if it was dying or given, I don't know what. Say, I'm not worried about that right now. I'm not facing that right now. I'm going on today with what God wants me to do. Don't let the devil try to dictate your thought life. Live in the victory that you have in Jesus Christ. As we close out, chapter 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says next now. Therefore, I'm going to close with this verse now, but he says, therefore. So what he just said in verses 50 down to verse 57, you got victory in Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It will be worth it all. Don't stop. Don't be surprised. As I'm closing up here tonight, Shushan was perplexed. Don't be perplexed as a believer when it seems like everything is coming against you. Realize that you're probably then doing the right things. If it seems like everything's coming against you, you're probably on the right path. And the devil's doing all he can to get you off of it. Stay faithful. Your work is not in vain if it's being done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be perplexed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Thank you for these scriptures, blessed Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear God, that I have a Bible. Lord, thank you, dear God, that I can see these precious promises. Lord, help me to stand upon them, dear God. Lord, help these precious brethren, Lord, the times where nobody else is around. Maybe they're by themselves and all of a sudden depression or darkness or the thought life just seems to go haywire. And it seems like everybody is just forsaking them. Lord, help them to recognize where that's coming from. And Lord, help them to bring those thoughts into the captivity of you, Lord. And Lord, help us to recognize the victory that we have through our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be steadfast. Help us to be unmovable. Help us always to be abounding in your work and your will for your glory, for your honor, and your praise. We ask these things now in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.